Welcome to the Imbalance podcast series, hosted by Brady Technologies, your guide to short-term power markets in Europe and beyond.
Welcome everyone to another episode of Energy Imbalance for Brady Technologies podcast on all things energy trading. Today we're very, very lucky to be joined by our in-house data scientist and lead quant and all things very clever in Brady, Navesh Kumar. Welcome Navesh to the podcast.
Hi Chris, hi Marie, happy to be here.
Thank you Navesh. So today myself and Murray will be grilling Navesh relentlessly on his knowledge of algorithmic trading in the short-term power trading markets, and he'll also be talking about some of the concepts he's coding into the upcoming PowerDesk Edge release. That's Brady's answer to algorithmic trading. So I'd like to begin by saying, Navesh, is automation in the energy market evident at the moment?
Yes, Chris, the automation is becoming more and more evident in the energy market as we go and research the bid and offer patterns that we are seeing. What is clear from these patterns is people are working their bids and offers in a way that one can easily see to follow a very straight line kind of a pattern. So one could take the initial bid or offer and see it trace a straight line in the time axis, and we can almost codify it in a ratio equation or a straight line equation.
Okay, so you're seeing orders, i.e. people initiating trades, with very, are you saying, linear patterns in the movement of the orders as they evolve towards gate closure?
Most certainly, Chris. And the part that is interesting to note is most of these orders are very similar to each other. So irrespective of who is starting these orders, they are all following almost a similar kind of pattern, albeit in different scales. So the equation of the line remains the same. It's just the parameters of these lines change.
Okay. That's very interesting. I think from my experience being quite a lot older than yourself and Murray, I was trading in the short-term power markets definitely before automation was available. And I'd be really interested to see and wonder whether the traders could recognize this level of automation and bid movement and the patterns in them live. I don't think they would. I think they would need something like the graphs that you're describing to show the trace of the bid and offers moving around, like in PowerDesk Edge, to see the patterns. Because the complaints that I've heard from the PowerDesk customers is that it's very difficult to keep up with orders moving so quickly, but never has anyone said they see a pattern to those orders moving quickly. Because I think if they saw that pattern, they'll be less worried about the sheer volume of rebidding and reordering. Murray, have you seen anything on that with the kind of changing in bids and offers? Or if any of the customers relayed that to you?
No, I think that's a really interesting point you made there, Chris, about the traders. If the traders had access to that graph where they're actually able to see it's just the bid and offer that's updating, it's not necessarily a change in the volume. I think when I'm also looking back to when I was on the desk sitting there, you were so focused on where the numbers were actually changing to. You weren't so much looking at the volume, you were looking at the price, not the volume. So you had been able to have something up there that showed me the fact it was just the bid and offer that was changing, not necessarily the traded volume that was changing, would have been such a help to me.
Ah, interesting. So Navesh, do you see any reasons of why these levels are changing? Do you think it's on fundamentals of the market or technicals?
That is a very interesting question, Chris. So if we look at the initialization of these orders, they usually do not adhere to any pattern. So what I am suspecting is there is a lot of fundamental analysis that goes into initializing a particular price that a trader would want to put in the market. However, the follow through of this initiation, that is following the automation. So to summarize, it would be more about fundamental analysis starting off the pattern and technical analysis following through.
So you think there's some technical analysis going on? What kind of strategies or patterns do you think they're recognizing?
I think, Chris, the most evident one right now would be the initiation strategy in the market, wherein two a bid line and an offer line are chasing each other, and at the point of them reaching an agreeable point, a trade happens, and these are the trades that we see on the edges of these lines. However, this is not very common. Most of the orders that are being placed on the exchange, they seem to happen more from the fundamental side and less from the technical side.
Murray, how does that kind of convey with your vast experience of short-term trading?
That's, I think what you said there, Navesh, is really interesting. It's something that I was probably a little bit cynical of about technical analysis in the past. I thought technical analysis was fantastic for trading in the curve, where people were focusing on one or two products, which were not necessarily linked to each other, whereas what was happening in the prompt, and if I can use the example of coming from a CCGT background, if you lost some gas storage offshore, so there was less gas coming on into the mainland, that would see a massive increase in the short-term increase in the power price, and that would roll forward for a few periods. So there was definitely that view of, and I certainly had it, that what was happening in the prompt and the fundamental drove what happened for the next few settlement periods, and that overwrote any form of technical analysis that was being done. Do you see anything similar, Chris, or have you got a different experience of it?
No, my experience was I had a trader who worked for me. He used to come in and stare at oil price plots and do technical analysis. And he's a prompt trader, and I think he missed a few periods staring at long-term oil prices. Now, back then, I would have said that there was quite a lot of indexation of oil to gas contracts. So I could see why it's interesting in long-term trading to look at technicals, especially of oil, which I think trades very much on technicals or used to, into the gas price. But in the prompt, completely agree with you, Murray, it's fundamentals because it's a physically balanced system, not so much as a financial hedge for other people. And in a physically balanced system, then the balance of the system obeys the laws of physics, and an asset that's broken now is going to be an asset that's broken in 10 minutes and probably still broken in half an hour. And that shock effect to the grid of something that breaks or moves price, be it weather, be it an asset breaking, be it clouds over London increasing demand, there is a latency in that physical effect. So why on earth wouldn't you have the fundamentals move for adjacent products in a similar way? Perfect. Thank you, Murray. Navesh, so in terms of PowerDesk Edge, can you just give us a high-level overview, Navesh, of how you're going to make it kind of easy to enter and so forth for people getting into the algo world compared to some of our competitors out there?
Sure, Chris. So Edge is your trading, algorithmic trading platform assistance, you can call it. And Edge is following what is now being popularized as a low-code environment, which means the threshold to actually sit in front of Edge and write a quality algorithm does not require a lot of Python knowledge or advanced Python knowledge to write quality algorithms. However, Edge grows with you. So the more you become aware of algorithmic trading and the more you are comfortable in writing complicated scenarios, you will be able to code them into Edge as seamlessly as somebody who is trying to write a very simple if this then that kind of a scenario and work that in the most optimal way.
So how do you keep it low code then, Navesh? Do you provide example templates or do you use libraries?
So we do have got our own library, which powers the parent class that we provide, which contains all the powerful IP that Edge has. A lot of the algorithms that Edge provides out of the box in its lowest code output is through just replicating the PowerDesk core automation algorithms. And it also then provides a platform to modify these simple rule-based trading algos that we have to bespoke fit the needs of the quant sitting in front of Edge without much coding.
Okay, so you're kind of using libraries and you've replicated some of the IFTT that's out there so that people essentially get a huge boost to their start when they begin writing their own algorithms. That's really interesting. I, for one, feel less daunted by the idea of getting in and applying some of my very historical knowledge to seeing if I can write anything profitable. So it's all very well Navesh as the new generation coming and telling us how clever he is, but myself and Murray have made real profits in the past, possibly some losses we don't talk about, but definitely some real profit. So Navesh, have you written any algorithms that are actually profitable?
Oh, yes, indeed, Chris. So we were experimenting with a technical analysis algorithm, which is the momentum algorithm, which basically was learning from the direction of the market based on the historical trade that has happened in the vicinity of the current product being traded. And it would take the information from the historical trade and then apply when to trade, how much to trade onto the current trade session. And with those decisions taken, it was able to beat the VWAP and make a reasonable amount of profit.
And what is VWAP for our listeners?
So for our listeners, VWAP would be the volume weighted average price. And in the energy market, as we know that there is no such thing as a benchmark price on which you can look at whether you've made a profit or not, we usually end up taking the volume weighted average price of that trading session, and we then evaluate that did my particular trade beat the average or not. So it's basically an average beating benchmark.
And so you're in a continuous market rather than a cleared auction with a single event. So you're using a volume weighted average price of all other traders' achieved prices to benchmark an average, and you're beating that average by applying this strategy. Do you do that on long positions, short positions, or what are your assumptions that the trader has to close out?
So, a very interesting point, Chris. So, the algorithm that this momentum algorithm that we tested, this was actually position agnostic. We traded in both a continuously long, continuously short, and a randomized long and short position for all the 48 instruments being traded in the GB market for a period of 23 days. And this is where we were able to see that irrespective of the time of the day or weekend or weekday kind of a scenario, the momentum strategy was able to beat the average in more instruments than expected out of a manual trading session, wherein we would just randomly select a trade or aggress towards a particular price without like applying such a momentum strategy.
Murray, do you feel equally nervous to me on ever getting back into short-term power trading?
I do, but I think what Navesh was talking about there is very interesting because that's something we used to try and benchmark was how it was performance against VWAP, but it was much harder to do and it was always retrospective, whereas this idea of being able to almost monitor how you're doing against VWAP in real time seems it's revolutionary where my mind would have been 2, 3 years ago even. I think it's definitely something that will be of interest to short-term traders.
So I used to run a performance meeting in arrears weekly where we did a mark to VWAP on certain strategies. But that was very manual, the way you had to do that. And my aim was to make sure that the traders beat VWAP, but we had sometimes to take tail events out because we had large generation trips, etc. But generally a pretty good trading strategy was in the low single digits beating VWAP over a long period. That's kind of where the benchmark was, and I felt pretty happy about that. And it sounds like Navesh is pretty close to that with like a first back testing. Is there a huge amount of variance, Navesh, in the returns half hour to half hour, or have you got quite a narrow distribution?
Again, a very interesting point, Chris. So the nature of this technical strategy, this momentum strategy, seems to give out a fairly narrow band of P&L variance, wherein it is going to provide you a slight edge over the VWAP mark always. But when it fails, it does not fail very far away from the VWAP mark. So whenever you are trading with the momentum strategy, it is almost like we are training the machine, or in machine learning terms, the machine is learning that where exactly the VWAP would occur and then put yourself slightly above that mark. So a narrow band of P&L variance.
Really? And a final question, just because myself and Murray are interested in this. Don't tell me which one works, because we want our listeners to buy the product and they'll find out. But is there a marked difference that you observed in your kind of 1,000+ point scenario between a kind of momentum aggressor strategy, i.e., you kind of, if you're buying, you lift the offer straight away, or an initiation strategy, i.e., you place yourself as best bid and wait for someone to aggress to you?
There was a marked difference, but as we want the listeners to buy edge, there is obviously a marked difference in creating a slightly more nuanced if this then that scenario, or like keeping your cards to yourself scenario, sort of a game plan when it comes to executing such a strategy. And when you do that, how you execute it under different kind of sub-strategies within a momentum framework does have a great deal of impact on which side of the positive or negative side of the P&L variance would you happen to lie. So there is a marked difference.
Okay, that's interesting. What I'm hearing from that is it's not a one size fit all aggression versus initiator, and you're moving away from an if this then that to an if this then this then this then this then that then that then that then that, where you're nesting your strategies into different things.
That is true, Chris, and I would put it in a way of saying that there is a very Bayesian basis of taking such a decision, which hopefully our customers, when they start using Edge, would be able to deduce very quickly and write a quality algorithm.
What do you mean by Bayesian in this context?
Bayesian basically means something interesting happened, and given that interesting thing has happened, what is my probability of beating the market given I have that information with me? So utilizing that information to make a more informed decision.
Okay, that's very interesting. So Murray, imagine we were both 20 years younger. How do you imagine the conversation would go with your compliance team if you were trying to get this in place?
I think that's always going to be an interesting one, because the compliance team was always very much around the case of no, we want a human to be pressing the button, because then we can see who's done the trade, when they've done it, and we can go and ask them why they did it afterwards if they got it wrong. Whereas I think from the trader point of view, I'd be trying to push the fact that if I can constantly beat, or hopefully constantly beat VWAP, then I'm adding value to it. So compliance would always have this, you know, we need to follow the rules and it needs to be set by the human. Whereas I'm trying to say, but yeah, the human's still doing this because I'm going to be creating the algo. We're going to back test it. We're going to make sure it's running properly. We can show you all the evidence of all our back testing before it goes live. And that's the way that I'd be hoping to get them involved in it and hopefully get their approval.
I like it. It's like when you authorize a new trader as a trading director, you could put them in a test environment for a week and accelerate it and find out if they're any good. I like it. Navesh, how are you finding this challenge? What are the customers saying to you, and what are you doing about it?
So, yes, Chris, at eWorld, when we were present, I heard a very powerful line, which was basically the best algorithm is the algorithm which is actually allowed to trade. And this authorization does come from various teams, the trading manager, the compliance team, the risk teams. And we've heard our customers out, and a PowerDesk Edge is now coming with the technology which we are calling as the compliance ticker, wherein compliance is seen from a broader spectrum of not just the compliance team, but any other person interested in letting an algo trade to be confident of what the algo is doing. So as Murray said, teams would want a human trader to be present to monitor. And what this compliance ticker does is it basically tells you everything that it is doing. So not just a black box approach that you have set off an algorithm and it is doing what it is doing. No, that's not the approach. We want to build an ethical AI which tells you everything that it does every second. That information can be used for both monitoring what the algo is doing. And if you just took out a printout of this message, it would almost feel like somebody conversing with you of what the algorithm was up to, what it thought it would do, and what it ended up doing, all real time.
So thank you, Navesh. We've come towards the end of our session. I'll just ask a couple of final questions. My first one would be, Murray, do you think you would be able to get a PowerDesk Edge algo into production and live with what Navesh has just said when you were a trader?
I think with the ability to show to prove with that back testing facility and the ability to back test, I think yes, I would have been able to get that in. It would have taken a bit of persuasion because it's new, but I think once people got their head around it and were able to see the results, they would have been on board with it.
Thank you, Murray. So I'm going to close with an exam question for Navesh and Murray. With PowerDesk Edge live at a customer, who owns the trade from a compliance point of view and a performance point of view? Is it the quant trader in the background who's written the algo? Is it the trader who is on monitoring the algo as it's live? Or is it the creator of PowerDesk Edge, Navesh, myself and Murray, who came up with the structure? So Murray first, who owns the trade? Who is the person who's accountable for it?
To me, it's always the person on the desk. It's always the trader because they have the ability to stop the algo if they see things not going to plan.
Perfect. Thank you, Murray. Navesh, what's your answer?
I'll agree with Murray, Chris. At this point, I'd just like to point out that as goes with any algorithmic trading engine out there, Edge comes with a backtesting then into a paper trading paradigm. And the quant would do all the back testing, print, utilize the compliance ticker to get all the buy-ins so that everybody is happy with the algo to go and start trading live. But at the end of the day, it would be the extension of the trader on the desk who would be responsible for what the algo is doing.
Thank you, Navesh. Unfortunately, you're both wrong. The correct answer is it depends whether it made a profit.
Okay.
Very true.
I've never found a trader who doesn't claim more profits than losses. Excellent. Thank you, everyone. Thank you to Navesh for joining us on the podcast. I'm sure you're going to be a more regular attendee. Thank you to Murray for being a great panelist as ever. And apologies to our listeners to the short delay since we were last on for eWorld, just with summer holidays and the natural break. We've been a bit slower getting the podcast out at the moment. So I'd like to close with a thank you to everyone. And please get in contact with us at Brady if you have any particular questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.